Wrong one, mother... I'm Frenchie Squeeze Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Oh, what have we here?
Go fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.
Welcome, everybody. This is a bonus episode of your favorite AEW podcast. This is Eat Sleep Elite. I'm Charlie, joined as always by Duke. How are you doing today, Duke?
I
couldn't have said it better myself. Today, we are doing our Continental Classic 2024 preview. We're going to have some fun with this. And as traditional, I am the gold league because I'm Dynamite. Zero out of 10. Duke's the blue league. So for a collision. But yeah, I think this is going to be a fun little show. This is something we've been wanting to do for a while. And it just happens to line up that post-pay-per-view, we have another bonus show.
Did I just come up with another accidentally brilliant idea? I actually think Danhausen in the Continental Classic would actually slap. Like, not even kidding. Especially as a loser, dude. Can you imagine the one win he would get at the end? Oh, my God.
If we had a 16 field, I could totally see it.
Yeah.
But
one day, do you think they'd ever expand the field of this, or do you think keeping it small was a thing?
I want to think they would, but maybe just with only two TV shows and they have a limited runtime. Maybe that's probably the problem.
That might be part of the reason why he formatted it the way that he did. That would make a lot of sense. Yeah. But at the same time, it's an interesting question because I do think this could expand. I mean, there's no reason this couldn't run the back half of the year or something. You know what I mean? Like, maybe the G1 runs a good portion of the beginning of the year. So, I mean, yeah. Why not? But it's obviously he wants it to be something that he can finish and build a story. And if you have 16 stories to tell, it's kind of a lot harder than if you have
it gets a little bit, yeah,
or 12, you know.
So real quick, I'll read off the 12 participants, and then we're gonna dive into each of them on our own here. This is gonna be kind of fun. So in the Gold League, we had Will Ospreay, Juice Robinson, Brody King, Ricochet, Claudio, Darby Allin, and in the Blue League, we had Kazuchika Okada, Kyle Fletcher, Daniel Garcia, The Beast, Mortos, Shelton Benjamin, and Mark Briscoe. Duke, let me toss it to you first here. What are your overall thoughts, just overall vibes on the 12? We've been predicting for, it feels like, a year of who could be in this thing. Right away, I think the biggest shocker, based on how the year has gone, is no Orange Cassidy. But I guess given where he's at and the program he's in, maybe that does stick out, but yeah, what do you think of the field as a whole?
He killed him at the pay-per-view, too, in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? Like, he's dead right now, so he should be recovering. So it makes sense that he wouldn't jump straight back into this, especially if you think about it. I mean, he may not even be done going after the championship. We don't know that for sure. So, you know, like, it feels like he might be, but we don't know that. You know what I mean? So at the same time, though, just looking at the field, I mean, names, like, I just was point out a couple of names. I mean, you mentioned before we started, Darby seems like kind of a shock to be in here. Not that he couldn't be in this, but this didn't seem like a year we were going to throw him in there because,
talk about one of the best television wrestlers there is.
Yes. Oh. Darby will deliver. So it makes complete sense to put him in this. Juice is actually one that, even though I can see why he's in here, it's not one that I would have immediately jumped at because even though he does have tournament wrestling experience, he's just not a top flight mid-card wrestler, if you want to talk about it. He's very much a secondary mid-card guy. You know, he's almost, as much as I hate to say it, at this point, because of the way he's been booked, Jay Light is a higher level mid-card guy than him. You know what I mean? They're both just in the mid, which is unfortunate for both of them. I think that's actually a notable thing. I know he was in it last year, but Jay White not being in this tournament does feel a little bit weird, you know?
I'm glad the representation from the Bang Bang Gang, though.
100%. So, and that was probably the argument they made. They're like, hey, Jay, we're not going to have you be in this year. You did a great run last year, but we want to get Juice in because we haven't done a lot with Juice this year. And that makes a lot of sense, you know? I also like Juice. I'm really surprised at Brody being back. I mean, not that he wasn't great last year, but it feels like a little on the nose to run that back exactly in. I think he's in the same is he in the same division again? I think he might be. If he's not, that'd be weird. I don't know why you wouldn't just run it back, but that's a little weird to me.
Shocking.
And Mark Briscoe also being back. See, some of the decisions
we've been taking that one though for weeks. Just
it felt like
out in our last episode.
No, yeah.
The two Continental Classic ads in a row both led into Mark Briscoe promos. That felt a little teed up. Plus, he's no longer going after Jericho. Realistically, right now, he's taking a break.
Only other person that had another had like a stronger argument for being in than him and Danny was Jay Lethal, and Jay Lethal is obviously the way it went last year. They're just not going to do that again. You know what I mean? Like he just had no sauce throughout the whole tournament, which is unfortunate for him. But he just stood out like a sore thumb in that tournament. You know what I mean? Like,
match felt like it was against Roosh too.
Yeah, and
that was the most shocking match of the tournament for sure.
That was probably the biggest disappointment of that tournament was Roosh's performance. No offense, but like you know, like he did great, but it wasn't the Roosh we were expecting. I mean, who would have
imagined we had a Roosh versus Moxley stinker?
Like, yeah, no, 100%,
unreal 100%. That happened. But
oh yeah, no, we 100%.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this we have a really solid field. We've covered a lot of ground here with getting big factions, getting big wrestlers. That was one of the things we were wondering. Are they going to put a couple of the top guys in? And when you put in guys like Will Ospreay, well, you've covered that base. They are putting top-tier main event talents in. And talents that's being booked very strong, like Darby Allin, like Claudio, like Kyle Fletcher. So, yeah, I think the field looks good. I got to tell you, though, there's two people I'm rooting for. I don't know if they're going to win, but I'm wondering if you're on the same level with me right now. I am going to be rooting for the Beast Mortos in every single match he's in. I love this freaking guy. I think he's perfect for this tournament. I'm so excited he's in it. Daniel Garcia as well in the blue. I'm so excited he's in it. And then Ricochet. I want him to just show the world more and more of who he is. Oh, you know Darby Allin's going to deliver on television. Are you kidding me?
There's no way it happens.
He's going to just go nuts.
There's no way it happens. Can you imagine if the finals was Brody King versus Beast Mortos in like a monster mash fucking match, bro?
Dude.
My God. That'd be insane.
Yeah, so let's kind of preview. Let's preview the field a little bit more here. So I guess I will start us off in the gold division. And I'm going to start with Darby Allin. You know, Darby Allin has had a lot of success in AEW. He's multi-time TNT champion. We've seen him consistently pushed. And Darby is one of those guys that you can book it. In 2025, he's most likely going to be a world champion. I think that's very fair to say. He's got some of the best odds. I mean, if Kyle Fletcher doesn't usurp him, I think Darby's probably got the best odds to be a new champion. So, yeah, we have some pretty cool, interesting matchups for him. Obviously, this is going to be a trend. But the one that sticks out the most to me is Darby Allin versus Will Ospreay. What the fuck does that match look like? And then we have a rivalry. Him and Brody King bringing that back. That should be pretty fun. But something we did is we got a hold of the records kind of against each other participant in their block. So for Darby, he's 0-1 against Claudio, which was very recent. This most recent Dynamite, right?
Literally like 2 weeks ago, yeah.
First time matchup against Ospreay. First time matchup against Ricochet. He's 2-4-1 against Brody King, and he's 1-0 against Juice. So pretty – he's got a lot of L's there. So I'm very curious where Darby's going to line up. I'm excited for him in this tournament. I think he's got a good shot to make the playoff. I think he's got an absolutely good shot to be a top two in this bracket. So, yeah, I Darby Allin is very surprising, and I'm looking forward to him. So, yo, what do you think of Darby, and then who are you diving in for us?
I mean, I think Darby's about the, if there's a such thing as a safe pick for a tournament like this, I feel like Darby's it, because you can use him in any position in this tournament. You can have him winning the thing, you can have him losing the thing, you can have him winning every match, you can have him losing every match. You can have him waiting until the very last minute. You know what I would do if I was Darby, because he does the whole, like, I throw my body at everything. What if because of that, in the first several matches, he's just like kind of not really, you know, almost like what are they called? House of Terror did in the Super Juniors almost, where just basically the first few matches he considered to be bullshit, even though they could get him points because he just didn't want to waste the energy, right? You know what I mean? So he would cheat, or he'd try to cheat anyway. You know what I mean? Obviously, you can't do that here, but I wouldn't mind a Darby that maybe takes a little bit of that into account, you know, like maybe he doesn't throw his body immediately at everybody out there. Now that's obviously the opposite of what we'd know Darby to be, but maybe he thinks about it differently and he says that, and I'm probably like, yeah, I know I normally do this, but I'm trying to save my body for the big matches. I would love to see something like that. Yeah, I mean, I guess we start where we're kind of hyper locked on for this whole lead up to this tournament. There's been one guy, Charlie, that we've been saying, God, we were saying before he even officially debuted on AEW, that's how fucking much we wanted this, that Shelton Benjamin needed to be in this tournament. And now it's interesting. I'll just go through it right now. He has no current records against anybody else in the tournament. He hasn't faced any of them yet. Which means every single match is going to be a first-time match for Shelton Benjamin.
Give me that Benjamin and Okada match, man.
Give me Benjamin versus Fletcher, Benjamin versus Garcia. I think even Benjamin versus Briscoe, especially because of how Mark Briscoe has been kind of like not really been getting the shine that he normally would recently. You know what I mean? Like, I feel as though I feel like we have plenty of opportunity for really great matches from Benjamin. I mean, I don't even know really what else to do to preview. I mean, if you know wrestling over the last 20 years, you know Shelton Benjamin. Like, he is a very, very talented, athletic, and very strong wrestler that is going to fit very well into this tournament. I cannot wait to see him face the Beast Mortos. My God.
Yes.
You know, yeah, pretty much every first-time match with this guy is going to be a blast. And, I mean, Charlie, I guess I'll just toss it back, you know, with thoughts on Benjamin. And, I mean, I'm excited for this guy to be – I mean, this is going to be the first time Shelton Benjamin in his career probably has truly ever been unleashed in this way, and it's going to be glorious to see.
Yeah, the ultimate no-brainer for how he's been getting over to. And he's going to be able to touch a lot of those spots where when he loses, it's not going to hurt him in the slightest. He's going to pick up some fun wins. He's going to have some exciting matches. He's going to bring the power to the blue. And yeah, you named it. Shelton versus Beast Mortos, Shelton versus Okada. They're going to be fucking awesome. So up next, I had Claudio Castagnoli, current Trios champion. Claudio was in this last year. We know what he's going to bring. He's going to bring consistency. He's 1-0 against Darby Allin, 0-1 against Will Ospreay, 3-17 against Ricochet, 0-1 against Brody King, and 2-0 against Juice Robinson. Now, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe the 0-1 against Brody King was last year's tournament. Does that sound familiar to you? That's what it feels like to me.
What's the question? I'm sorry.
Claudio and Brody, they faced in last year's tournament, and I think Claudio's only loss to him was in that tournament, so that'll be kind of fun to run that back.
And that sounds right. I feel like that was the thing that spiraled Claudio into not winning the tournament, if I remember right.
Yeah, so he's going to definitely, similar to Shelton Benjamin, similar to Brody, they're going to be those big bodies that bring the meat, right? So another champion in the tournament, our current Trios champion. So, yeah, Claudio is going to be fun.
100%. I've always been a really big fan of Claudio. I mean, he's one of those dudes that I had respect for a long time, knew he was really good in ring from his stuff from NXT, but then because of my fandom of Eddie Kingston, I went back and looked at all his stuff, and guy was so goddamn underrated on the, well, he wasn't underrated, he was known, but like, he just, I don't know, the thing I always go back to with Claudio is it's amazing to me how for like 10 years the guy was basically a different wrestler, you know what I mean? Like, I mean,
and yeah, that's true. And Claudio, the only person in this tournament who has wrestled everyone in the block,
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, I'm sure that'll factor in, you know, maybe that's why he doesn't get it done this time, because he's got so much history with everybody else that he's like, I'm just like focused on that instead of the wins. I don't know, but yeah, let's jump to probably the one I'm the least excited to talk about, which is Mark Briscoe, which is no offense to Mark Briscoe. I don't see why. I understand why, given what we've done recently on TV, why he's in the tournament, but I don't know. He didn't really do it for me in the tournament last year. But at the same time, that makes me go in with lower expectations. So if he does anything at all, it's going to be really great for me. So, you know, and you know what? Maybe this is the guy I should personally root for, because I have so little investment in him. Like, it'll be nice, even if he doesn't win, to be like rooting for the underdog to an extent. I don't know. But yeah, matches that I think will be interesting. I mean, he's got a win over Fletcher already, and a win over Mortos already. So, I mean, there's history there. They can play into that. I'm sure they're going to mention that when the match is coming up, you know what I mean? I do think the other people he hasn't faced yet, I'm really curious to see what he does with a guy like Okada. I'm fucking fascinated to see what Okada versus Briscoe match looks like, you know?
Both is Okada and Ospreay in their brackets, it's like, that just shows the power that they have. They're really how they're enigmas.
Yeah.
I mean, because you want to see them against all five other guys.
100%. Like, I am I think beyond that, I think him and Kyle could maybe do something because of the history there. Like, I could see that being a crowning moment for Kyle where he's like, nah, you're nothing to me or something, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm very curious to see how that's going to look. I actually wonder what him and Benjamin will do. Mark Briscoe is interesting. I just don't, like, again, I feel like the same way I felt about Jay Lethal. Like, I know there could be a chance, but I also know that Mark Briscoe might just get lost in the field here. You know what I mean?
No, so, yeah. And I'm with you. It's nothing against him. It's just to me, and the fact he was in there last year, right? Like, that plays into it. He is the least interesting of the 12. And that's, again, I still like him. That's just, you know, someone has to be. So, yeah, I had up next Will Ospreay. You know, we kind of just briefly mentioned him. Kind of, you know, he is the golden line. He is the Billy Goat. Will Ospreay was brought to AEW to do shit like this. He's going to have 5 incredible television matches, 7 potentially all the way. So, I mean, what more is there to say about Will Ospreay other than his first time matchup against Darby Allin? He's going to get a first time matchup against Brody King. He's 1-0 against Claudio, and he's 5-4-1 against Ricochet, and then 1-0 against Robinson, which I did look. That was in the G1 of the 32nd G1 climax. Those two wrestled each other. So, yeah, I fully expect Will Ospreay to be a big contender to win this tournament. And, I mean, when we give our best match at the end of this fucking thing, if it's not Will Ospreay, I'm going to be shocked. I did not expect to give Roosh and, what was it, Roosh and Mark Briscoe, right? My most underrated match, so it, shit happens. You never know. But, yeah, I mean, you know the vibes with Ospreay.
Yeah, Will is the best wrestler in the world right now. It's not even questionable. He's basically, I mean, he's almost the best at it. If Moxley wasn't out there cutting fucking poetry every week, he'd be the best at promos, too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like,
he makes you believe in what he's saying.
Yeah. I honestly don't even think of Will as, like, a character. I'm just like, no, that's Will Ospreay. There's no character. That's just Will. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If there's any individual that I'm rooting for in any division, it's Will. Just because Will deserves to win everything. I mean, the guy is just a fucking goat. But, you know, my glazing of Will aside, though, let's glaze a little harder. Let's go with Daniel Garcia here. What can I say? First time matches for just about everybody in the tournament, and they're all going to be insane. And, you know, he's got history with Mortos, blah, 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 all that. Daniel Garcia is our guy. I mean, if there's anybody that's ever been our guy on this show, it's been Daniel Garcia, you know?
The only pillar in the tournament.
Yep. And there's a reason for that, because he's about the only, and this is no offense to the other guys that we really like, but he's the only one that in the time that we've really been watching has gotten to the point where I think he could win this championship, maybe not even hold it for that long, and then be world champion by, like, the next pay-per-view. You know what I mean? Like, it's that crazy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, he's been on that precipice of breaking through for so long, and I think this tournament is going to be the time when we finally, you know, I'm going to give a different result than what I really would want to happen, which is that Danny cleans house. You know what I mean? Like, if Danny came through and cleaned this whole fucking tournament out, imagine this, Charlie. First match of the tournament for Danny is Okada or something like that. You know what I mean? And he just sweeps him. I think he needs
to be the one to beat Okada. Okada can't go undefeated. Someone has to beat
him. Yeah. And if it's Danny, that's huge. To do it. That'd be awesome. I would so be down for that.
My gut says it's going to be Fletcher, but we just got to wait and see.
Yeah, that would make sense. I'll get to why that when I get to Fletcher, but that would make a lot of sense. But I mean, So let's just talk about a couple of these first time matches. Okada, I mean, come on, dude. I mean, just come on. Him versus Fletcher, by the way, sneakily fucking could be match of the year.
Yeah, that's going to be fucking nasty.
That could be a straight up genuine match of the year contender for either show, whichever one it's on. You know what I mean? I guess this is Blue, so it'd be on Collision, right? So, but either way, you know what I mean? Like, that could easily be your Collision match of the year.
Yeah. Majority of them are Collision, but they do occasionally do a 2-to-1 ratio.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so sometimes there'll be a Blue League match on Dynamite. Whatever match, that's why I'm saying whichever show it happens to be on, it could be a match of the year contender for that show. If it ends up getting run back in like the finals, it could be and that's the other thing about this. Like you might oh, we're only going to see these matches once. Well, no, not necessarily. You're going to see at least one of them twice, because two people are going to be in the finals. You know what I mean? So unless there's more than two, but you know, like, so. Yeah, I mean, again, it's like with Will. Like, what do you even more say about Danny from our perspective? I guess I'll huck it to you. This guy's going to fucking kill this thing. I mean, come on.
Most interesting story in the tournament based off last year, too, with Daniels Garcia. So, yeah, looking – that's going to be good. Ricochet, okay? He's come to AEW. You can feel the chip on his shoulder every time he takes the ring. You can feel the chip on his shoulder every time he cuts a promo. He wants to show everyone he can be a world champion. And in AEW, in order to be world champion, you have to show you can prove yourself in that ring week in and week out. You have to carry the company on your back. You wrestle on that pay-per-view, motherfucker. You better be ready to defend that title on Collision. That's how it works here. And Ricochet seems to embrace that. He loves it, just like Swerve loved it when he was world champion and he defended that title, or not even defended, he wrestled that next week.
You know what? I'm going to make a bold prediction right now. You know whose fucking trajectory is very similar to fucking Ricochet's heading into this tournament? Now, I know what you're going to say is, well, but hear me out. He's very similar to Swerve.
Yes.
This guy's coming off a very personal story with Will. That was like the defining story of his career to this point, which I would argue Swerve versus Hangman is their defining career programs to this point, right? I think there's a lot of parallels between him and Swerve. He could end up as world champion next year, dude.
It makes me so happy to hear you say that. I couldn't agree more. I love Ricochet so much. First time matchups, Darby Allin.
My God.
Oh, Jesus. Brody King? We've seen him work very well in David vs. Goliath matches. And Juice Robinson. Okay. That looks a little fun.
That can actually be a really fun match.
Yeah, that looks fun. 17-3 record against Claudio. Hey, Holy
Juice
King
and
used to... Man. Ricochet apparently used to dog walk Claudio. So 17-3 record. And then 4-5-1 against Ospreay. He's got to get that monkey off his back. He's got to beat Will Ospreay in this tournament once, maybe twice. Fuck it, we ball.
Oof. That'd be
crazy.
Very
forward to Ricochet.
Yeah, he's gonna steal the show every time he's on. I mean, Ricochet honestly has been stealing the show on most of the times that he's been on anyway. So, yeah, I'm so down for that. All right. I guess I'll jump to our other young buck that's left. I guess he's not a young buck. I guess that'd be the other guy. But, you know, like, whatever. You know, whatever. Listen, I don't make the fucking gimmicks. Anyway, but, you know, Kyle Fletcher, the protostar of pro wrestling, future world champion, future continental champion, clearly. Maybe this time. You never know. You know, and probably the biggest breakout star in AEW's history, I would say. Is that an extreme stretch, do you think? I think.
It's got to be Swerve still.
But Swerve was already in, like, I feel like Swerve took... That's fair, but
it's
I feel like
hard
Swerve
to
was
because we knew how good Swerve was.
Here's the difference, Charlie. Kyle was a complete unknown. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
Swerve was not. Swerve was not unknown, but no one knew what he could be. But I don't know. Kyle literally came from obscurity. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm throwing Kyle. He's in the similar range with Takeshita, where it's like we knew how good he was from a tag part, from a tag team.
Yeah.
He had some success in Japan. And he's on the precipice of being main event talent.
Okay. For me, he's probably the biggest breakout star that has come along, especially young. Like in
most unexpected, for sure.
I mean, yeah, because you would never
see him breaking out as a single star in less than a calendar year.
Well, yeah, just the way things went. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, I mean, obviously. So the interesting thing here, as I mentioned, is he's actually got a loss to Okada on his record. So I actually think that's going to play into this tournament in a similar way to how, like, you know, I think he's gonna take that really hard, and because of that, when he gets to his Okada match, he's gonna really need to win that one regardless of what his record is at that point. Yeah, the loss to Mark Briscoe also adds another interesting dimension. Like I said,
he's gotta get that one back.
Yeah, and I think it's gotta be a bit of a dog walking, if I'm being honest. Like I said, Garcia should be insane again. Benjamin Mortos, both are phenomenal wrestlers. Like, the more we talk about this tournament, bro, I'm just like, yeah, every match is going to be insane. It's not like last year. Last year, I could have demonstrably told you which matches were probably going to be pretty okay. I think there's enough good talent this year that a guy like Mark Briscoe is just going to be the third best match that somebody has. You know what I mean? Like, or something. I don't even think he's going to be the worst, you know? So, you know, like, it's fascinating to see. All right, I'll kick it back to you, and then we'll finish out here. And
Number five, we got Brody King here. I think this was surprising for us for sure that he was announced. I thought based on recent booking, he was going forward in the tag division. I thought if they were picking someone from House of Black, it was going to be Buddy Matthews. I could be honest and say I would have preferred Buddy Matthews personally. Nothing against Brody King. I think he delivers when he's given the chance.
I would have definitely preferred it because it would have implied Malakai next year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, you know, there is something to say, though, that I think our two least exciting participants being Brody and Mark Briscoe, both were in the tournament last year. I think there is a flavor of that.
And those are the finals of the Turtle Pole tournament. We're like, oh, shit. We're going to be like, damn.
Yeah, I think that is possibly a reason for feeling like this is because we did see them last year. And, yeah, I mean, first time matchups against him and Ospreay, Ricochet, and then Juice Robinson. And winning records against the rest of the field, 4-2-1 against Darby and 1-0 against Claudio. So, yeah, I think similar to how we are kind of ranking Briscoe, I want to see some good stuff out of Brody. I want to see him. He's got no excuse. I mean, you got Ricochet, Ospreay, Darby Allin, Claudio, Juice Robinson. I mean, you have some serious fucking talent to get in there. Let's have some
holy
fun matches.
Shit, that Darby bro. How do you book that match? Holy, it really depends on where they're at in the tournament, tomorrow. Right? But like, because here's the thing, right? Obviously, Darby just won recently, right? But demonstrably, he's been beaten. So what do you do? Oh, yeah. God, that's going to be fucking ass.
Yeah. So.
All right. Go to Japan time. I mean, come on. What do I even say? It's like Ospreay. This guy's literally a five-star match machine. He's going to go. He is on the precipice of being the greatest tournament wrestler of all time. And he may get it with this tournament, you know? So the only person in the tournament he's wrestled is Fletcher. And that makes sense if you consider that he was in Japan for a long time. So, you know, they were both, but Fletcher was what I mean, you know? And so first time matches, Garcia, Briscoe, Benjamin, fucking Shelton Benjamin versus Kazuchika Okada, excuse me? Okay, and then Okada versus Mortos because, you know, we just want everyone to just be, you know, drained to the last fucking drop, you know? Like, apparently, you know, like, yeah, I mean.
Drained to the last nut.
Yeah, literally. You'll be, you made it this far in November, good luck with that match, you know? But, you know, like, anyway, they better put that match in December is all I'm saying. Otherwise, people are going to be failing, you know?
Okada's going to carry your ticket sales, too, on certain shows. Like, he's going to be the prime jewel. This guy's going to World's End.
This guy, yeah, he's making it to the finals no matter what. I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell everybody now. Both of us probably have Okada going because it's just makes so much sense. I love Danny. Danny should be number two in the rankings, right? You know what I mean? Like, but it looks like record, right?
Yeah, I think they did a good job with the rest of the blue field that it's going to feel fine. He's going to end with 12 points most likely, and it's going to feel like an ass whooping. It's going to be deserved, too. I mean, he's going to.
He should feel like the guy about to win the most tournaments ever, even if he doesn't end up doing it. He should feel like that guy. It should feel like that big of a threat, you know?
It felt like a couple months ago there was a little bit too much chatter of people being underwhelmed by his run so far in AEW. I think it's time he slaps those motherfuckers in the face, if we're being
100%. 100%. So, I'm so down for that. Let's go for it.
Yeah, my last one is Juice Robinson. You know, I think we both know Juice's role in this tournament. It's not going to be the sexiest for him. I'm guessing 3 points. You know, it's not going to be pretty. But you need guys to play this role. And Juice Robinson is going to do this role. He's going to do it well. You know what I'm looking forward to most with Juice? Those backstage fucking promos that they always put on social media. Because he cuts such a good, passionate promo. He's going to have that spit slinging in his fucking beard. He's going to be so pissed off. And it's going to be incredible television. Well, social media. Probably on Blue Sky. Hey, let's get Blue Sky exclusive fucking promos. He hasn't won a single match against anyone on the field. First time matchups with Brody King and Ricochet. He could be winless. This could be Jay Lethal situation. He very well could, and I understand that. Look, I think Gold Division's a little more top-heavy, because outside of Juice, all five of those guys are pretty fucking protected.
And did we have Claudio and Eddie in Gold last year, if I remember correctly? or something like that. I
want to say we did.
It was either gold or blue, whichever division they were in last year, right? It might have been blue, but the point is they were in the same division, and we had that match like 2 or 3 weeks in. I think we do a similar thing with Will and Ospreay in that division, you know what I mean? Will and Ospreay. Yeah, Will himself. Will's going to fight himself in the ring. No, anyway, he's going to clone himself. It's the only wrestler he deserves to wrestle. No, anyway.
Yeah, where Jay Lethal, Mark Briscoe, and Roosh were the pin eaters from that Superstack Gold League.
Yes, so those
Moxley,
two could
Strickland,
thing.
And Jay White. So I think Gold League's going to be very much like Blue League last year. So, yeah.
And have a division that's going to have less winners in it. Because like there was one division where it was very dominated by one side, and there was one division where it had triple threat at the end. And that's actually how I booked my finals this year, because I think it's going to be similar again.
We might have the same exact finals. And then you had one more wrestler. Is it...
I had Beast Mortos, which Beast is the last Mortos. One I hadn't talked about, I believe. I'm pretty certain that's the one I haven't talked to. Yeah, no, that sounds right. I've gone through everybody else. I'm pretty sure. If I have missed somebody else, I apologize, but I mentioned them.
Cat came under my leg and scared the shit out of me.
Oh, hell yeah. Buddy. Oh, there, kitty. It's a friend. Anyway, speaking of friends, Beast Mortos. Anyway, but yeah, so... exactly. You know, Frank Mortos, attorney... anyway, you know... But yeah, so I mean, notable things here in the records. He's 0-1 to Garcia and Briscoe both. So I think honestly, this is going to probably shock you, but I think he should get both of those wins back in this tournament. Probably, you know, just because I don't think it's going to hurt Garcia to lose to fucking Mortos. Being honest, especially if it's later in the tournament, you know what I mean? Unless it's like a consequential match. It all depends on how Tony Khan books out the actual, you know, schedule of the matches, right? That's going to come down to him, which is what I'm sure he probably plans this out way, 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 way in advance. You know what I mean? Like,
the match was in a tournament. It was Battle of Los Angeles 2022.
Wow.
Which Daniel Garcia did go on to win that tournament. Spoiler. Sorry.
Yeah. He's currently PWG champion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, or at least he was in the 2023 time. He might have lost it since then. I'm not sure. We haven't really been paying attention to PWG the last couple of years. But Briscoe can easily take that loss and not suffer anything at all. He's not even champion anymore. So, you know, first times against, you know, Benjamin, Okada, and Fletcher. Like I mentioned before, those should be some pretty fun matches. So, yeah. And then let's get into our finals here, I guess. Or I guess, but what do you have any thoughts on Mortos? Is there any particular matches with Mortos you're excited to see? I mean, I'm just excited to see him go fucking this.
Yeah, I mean... him and Danny, definitely, it touches a tickle that I'm excited to see. You know, we need to see him get some win backs. Get those wins back. That was a good point. It'd be nice to see Mortos maybe get, like...
to both of them. Like, I get Mark was probably champion at the time, but still, I mean, you know.
Yeah. And Danny, you know, losing to the tournament winner never hurts. So.
100%.
All right. Yeah, let's get our finals. And, you know, is there a match on your league that sticks out to you that you think it's going to be a draw? Is there just one that sticks out to you that you're like, because we'll probably get one draw each, most likely.
It would be really, really, really fucking fun if Juice Robinson versus Darby Allin ended in a draw somehow.
Wouldn't that be? I could see that. I could see that. You know, one of the ones I keep getting stuck on that I think might end up in a draw.
Chris Okada would be an interesting one to pull. Like, they go time limit.
I think
they do have a time limit to these matches, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So 20 minute fucking just slugfest, dude. That actually could be an insane ending to a 9-9 or something, you know?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think it's going to be Ricochet, and I think it's going to be something with Brody King, and I can't put my finger on what just yet.
Brody versus Darby. Versus Darby.
Yeah, it could be.
Open the tournament with a drama. Fuck it.
Fuck it. You know me. I'd be so excited for that. But yeah, finals. So I guess we'll just each list our finals and who we got winning, right? So finals in the Gold League, I had a three-way. We might have the same thing. I got Darby Allin versus Will Ospreay versus Ricochet. And then I have in the Blue League, the finals being Kyle Fletcher versus Kazuchika Okada. So
we actually have such different finals, and I love it.
Oh, perfect. And then I do have, you know, realistically, it feels like it's going to be Ospreay Okada. But, you know, fuck it. The game's changing a little bit. Let's give this to Ricochet. Let's have it be Ricochet versus Okada at World's End. And I'm going to have Ricochet become the new AEW Continental Champion. He'll be the second ever C2 winner. So him and Eddie Kingston will be in that inevitable winner's C2 history. So, yeah, what do you have as your finals, and who's your winner?
100%. All right, so my finals for the Blue League are Kazuchika Okada versus Kyle Fletcher versus Beast Mortos in a triple threat match.
Yes!
So we did that with, Swerve? Was it last year?
Swerve,
it was
Jay White, John Moxley.
That's right.
It was so top-loaded.
It was an incredible match, if I remember right, too. Like, yep. They just fucking stole the show. But anyway, and I have Okada winning that. And of course, you know, and then my other finals, Charlotte, I have Will Ospreay versus Ricochet having paralleled records through, and this is a Ricochet that beat Will in their straight up match, and Will has to go on to defeat him in order to face Okada in the finals. So I mean, like, why did Ricochet?
It writes itself, honestly.
Why did Ricochet win that match? It's because it adds drama to the fucking final match. What are you talking about? Anyway. So, of the final of the Gold League. So, you know what I mean? So, and then we have Okada versus Will Ospreay in the finals, obviously, which I have Okada becoming the greatest tournament wrestler of all time by retaining. I guess he's technically a retain at that point. I mean, but he's not walking in as champion technically. You know how that, you know what I mean. But it would, I assume they would just continue his title.
Tournament think, championship wrestling.
Do you think they would just continue his title reign if that's how it went? Like, okay, so yeah.
No, then these dates count as his championship reign.
Okay, so this does count for his title until he actually loses it at the end. If someone, or gets eliminated, I guess. If he got eliminated, it would probably end that day, right? Realistically. Or maybe not.
The title wouldn't be vacant.
Ooh, that's right. He would be
fighting for his championship. Yeah.
Oh, damn. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, because it's
that.
A tournament. Yeah.
Well, I just didn't know how to parse that, to be honest with you. So, yeah, yep. So that makes sense. So, yeah, even, yeah, so, but in my mind, so, yeah, technically it would be retained at that point, but, you know, whatever. I just didn't know how to refer to it. But, yeah, no matter what,
he's going to be a 9-month champion minimally. Yes. So,
and you might be like, why would you have Okada? Because I think after this tournament, you have the Okada that people have been waiting for. That's where my mind is at. Because I have Okada destroying everything in this.
Maybe you know what I mean? Tell the Elite to fuck off, and maybe you do something with that.
That could be interesting, too. Maybe Kenny rejoins the Elite, and you run Kenny versus Okada as his first program back. I mean, it's going to be something you have to do once Kenny comes back. I mean, if he still has a championship, Kenny's going to want a shot at that. You know what I mean? So, you know.
I mean, he's our longest reigning champion by like 70 days right now. So.
And also, fuck what Kenny says. Interrupt all the stories. Be the best wrestler in the world. God damn it. Fuck you.
Yes. So far for this upcoming Dynamite, we had two Gold League.
This tournament, bro. Fuck.
We had two Gold League, one Blue League matches announced. Darby Allin versus Brody King. Claudio Castagnoli versus Ricochet. And Shelton Benjamin versus Mark Briscoe. I am so excited for Dynamite.
Fucking talking about Mark Briscoe's teeth, bro.
Yeah. And we also have Chris Jericho defending against Tomohiro Ishii. Woohoo! I am the learning tree! That being said, I hope you guys enjoyed this little Continental Classic preview. We had some fun with this. This was a good time. And I think, needless to say, we're going to be...
Try and fuck with me. I'm going to knock even more of your teeth out.
Yeah, bruv. Yeah, bruv. This is going to be a good time. This is going to be fun to talk about each week. And I can't wait till it's all said and done. And... we're doing our deep dive into how the fucking thing went and how wrong we were. So, or how right we were. Woohoo! Thanks. Thanks again, everyone. And we'll see you guys next week.
Juice Robinson's first match gets put in Missouri and he's fucking screwed.
Oh, I love Missouri. I wrestle in Missouri. God damn it. We'll be back next week with a normal episode of Eat, Sleep, Elite. So, hope to see you there. I don't even know what the hell else to say. You guys. Take it easy. Take it easy.